Listen, it's great to go off friends and family and raise private capital. But at the end of the day, if you really want to build your business and scale your platform, you're going to have to enter the institutional space.
Welcome to How to Buy Giant Apartment Buildings, the number one show about growing your family's wealth with apartment building investments. Now, here's your host, Mark Allen Kenny.
Hey everybody, welcome to How to Buy Giant Apartment Buildings. I'm Mark Allen Kenny. Our guest today is John Heller. How are you doing today, John?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing well. Thanks for being here. John is the vice president of Mark Belsky Limited, which is a real estate equity broker based in New York City. Mark Belsky Limited focuses on raising single source equity checks of 10 to 50 million for deal sizes of 25 to 250 million. With over 20 years experience and over $10 billion in transactions, Mark Belsky Limited has established themselves as the market leader in the middle market real estate private equity space. John, I'm super excited to have you on the show today. Could you tell the listeners just a little bit more about your background and how you got started?
Yeah, and thanks again for having me on. Really appreciate it. So I graduated in 2015. I moved over to more of a corporate middle market direct lending firm for around 4.5 years, where I really built out my marketing, communication, sales, fundraising abilities. And then around 2 years ago, I was approached by a firm, an owner operator with around 500 million of AUM called Alder Capital, where I got started in with a direct, more direct focus on real estate. And in my time at Alder, which is more, they are a vertically integrated platform. We're focused on value add multifamily across the Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, and Midwest. And I was able to do two deals, total raise of 39 million of equity across the two deals, one in Yardley, Pennsylvania, one in Louisville, the suburbs of Louisville. And so that was a really good experience. And then unfortunately, COVID hit, which has now turned into a fortunately, because I've known Mark for quite some time and he was thinking about starting his own shop. Mark is really good reputation across the marketplace and has a really good niche kind of business that you just introduced to everyone. And I thought that now is the chance to kind of get under him and learn from him and grow from him. And so just recently, the company was just recently launched after Labor Day, and I made the decision to move over and join Mark's side of the business. But been really a multifamily focus for me. Really love cash flowing assets that we can get investors excited about. And obviously, value add has been the hot commodity more recently. However, I'm seeing some traction into more core plus assets where there's a failed lease up that's a little bit distressed, and you can now purchase at 10, 15% below listing price in order to just get it out of the developer's hands and do a good lease up with strong management.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So I get, well, first of all, congratulations on the launch. Super happy for you guys. And then also, could you give kind of a quick overview of just your business model and how you guys work and how you guys, you know, add value and work with different operators?
Yeah, thank you. Happy to answer that. So our business model is pretty simple. We look to partner with owners and operators that have some sort of track record. Doesn't need to be the largest track record. And we look to introduce them to institutional limited partners, primarily private equity funds, who are looking to do 80, 90% of the equity on a deal, have the owner operator sponsor put in 10 to 20%. And this affords them the opportunity to really scale their platforms because our institutional equity is a little bit more strategic. So sample deal would be, say, your best owner operator's best and final on a transaction. They want to send me their model, underwriting, and T12s, rent rolls, OM. I'll parse through it. We do our own internal underwriting where we pull out some key data that we think is important to our investors. And then we parse through that. We make sure the model is legitimate and that it's going to be received well in the marketplace. We go through our internal underwriting to review it. And then we say, okay, this is one we feel we can execute on. And then as soon as you're awarded the deal, negotiating the LOI, we sign you up through an engagement letter and basically hit the ground running. One of the things that differentiates us from our competitors is the fact of how really involved we are on both with the owner operator as well as with the investors. So we're asking a lot of the questions that the owner operator would get up front from the equity that honestly they'd rather be focused on their due diligence period and getting their deal closed rather than doing equity questions. And we feel that that's really helpful to the owner operator and they appreciate it.
Is there a typical kind of deal that you guys are going after as far as, you know, unit count, purchase price, asset class, or are you able to take different types of deals and just match them with the appropriate investor?
I mean, there's different investors with different needs, but there's certain aspects of deals where we could look at it and say, no, we're not going to move forward on this one. Or yes, this looks great. And that's kind of where we developed this internal deal summary, I would call it, that we kind of put down that we can then go through at a high level and go through the model and say, okay, let's go. But our equity investors are flexible. They're really deal focused. So if they believe that it's a good deal, they're going to dig in and be interested and want to get something done.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And what's the vetting process like for the operators that you work with? I know that you mentioned you like to see a track record. Do you deal with the operators first and then look at their deal flow, or is it can literally anyone bring you a deal and then you take it from there?
I mean, we're going to look at any one deal because again, if it's a good deal, then we think and the operator believes in the deal, then we're going to be able to get it done for them. But we do, I mean, it's beneficial to have some sort of track record, especially obviously a big thing for investors is knowing that they've transacted in the market before and things like that. But we would look at operators who are smaller and are looking to diversify their equity stack. But we, that being said, we do prefer to have there be some sort of track record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Awesome. And then for the structure itself, is there a typical structure that you guys recommend for the operator? Can the operator kind of bring a deal with the structure in place, or does that change when you partner them up with the, a private equity fund?
Yeah. So, I mean, the structure is always a big aspect of each deal. And I think that the fact that we're bringing in equity that is going to be a single source, one ticket, certainty of execution investor, that they're going to really come to the table with their sort of waterfall structure, and it's on the owner operator to then be okay with it and or potentially negotiate a little bit. But given the fact that they're coming in with majority equity, they're going to want some sort of things in the term sheets that they're putting out that are worthwhile given the check size that they're putting into the deal. So I would say it's kind of a deal by deal situation, but we do feel that we're typically coming to the table with fair structures given the 80 to 90% of equity that our clients are putting into the deals.
Let's talk a little bit about your LP investors, because I read on your website that you work with over 400 different LP investors. Can you talk a little bit? I know you said you work with a lot of private equity funds, but I'd love to just learn a little bit more about those sources of capital and the typical clients on the equity side.
Yeah, so our typical client are middle market real estate private equity funds. These are funds with AUM with AUM of anywhere from 200 million to kind of 2 billion plus. We really like this niche market focus because once you get over the 2 billion plus, you're kind of then competing with the Blackstones, Carlyles, and those kind of groups where they kind of are whales in that market. And so our clients are really those more low to middle market, 200 million to $2 billion private equity funds who really are strong underwriters. They understand real estate. They understand the markets and they want to get invested into high rent growth, high income deals that can then in turn benefit their investors who are the more sharper institutional investors like pension funds, endowments, foundations, et cetera.
And then is there a typical deal size and kind of unit count that you look for as far as, you know, kind of the minimum?
So we like to focus on equity checks between 10 and 50 million. That being said, we'll look at checks that are smaller in certain circumstances that we feel the deal makes sense that we'll be able to execute on. So we've done, we just closed a deal that was less than $5 million of an equity raise. So we're willing to do it. We have trusted relationships that want to come to us with these kinds of deals, and we are all about relationships. And so if a relationship of ours needs us to go out and raise $5-7 million, we're going to go out and do it. If, as long as the numbers work and the deal works. I would say that the most important thing for us is that we need our owner operator sponsors to really believe in the deal. We don't want them to go into a deal and be questioning, are you guys going to be able to get it done? Are you guys going to be able to do all of this? Because we have built up enough of a reputation and a track record to answer that question. I mean, to date, our experience is close to $2 billion of deals done, $10 billion of transactions plus, as you mentioned. And so as long as the sponsor believes in the deal, we're going to be, it's a good deal, and we're going to be able to get it done.
Yeah. Has your strategy changed at all this year with COVID? I know that you mentioned, I mean, you guys just launched, but you've got, you know, 20 years, you and Mark, 20 years of experience before that launch. So you guys have been in the multifamily space for a long time. What's changed for you this year as far as COVID and going after these deals with high rent growth and things like that?
I think that the markets were kind of stalled for those beginning months of COVID. From March to around like July, markets were kind of stalled. And then the hot button topic coming out of that was, oh, where's the distressed pricing in multifamily? We're only looking at like COVID discounts and stuff like that. And then since things have started to reopen a bit, although albeit not completely, we have seen the market coming back. We are getting deals done. Again, we launched right after Labor Day. We've already closed two deals. We've signed up term sheets on two or three other deals. And so we're active. We're expecting 2021 to be an active year, coming off an election and a pandemic, where hopefully we had this Pfizer news this week. And so we're hoping that the vaccine can get done and we can start kind of getting back to normal life, where there can be a high volume deal situation in 2021 for the investors and for our clients. But I mean, COVID obviously had its effect, and fortunately for owners operators, we, from what we've been hearing, collections haven't been too down, which is always a positive, because we do believe that multifamily is a recession resistant type of asset class, especially in the workforce housing type of space. And so we're full steam ahead. We're active. We're working on a bunch of deals. We want to work on more. We want to continue to grow our platform because we know what we're capable of.
Yeah, totally agreed. So I want to talk a little bit just about the operators that you work with and kind of the ideal client for you. I mean, you guys really excel at kind of helping an operator make that leap from, you know, doing their own raises, maybe they're doing a lot of stuff with friends and family, and then they want to be in that institutional investor space. And it seems like you're a great partner to help get experienced operators to that next level. What do you look for in an operator, and what's kind of the ideal client for you?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that our bread and butter is, say, for owner operator that has 1,000 units, they've done 150 million of AUM, and they want to now take it. They want to go from 1,000 to 5,000 units. And so it's great to go off friends and family and raise private capital. It's the cheaper capital out there. But at the end of the day, if you really want to build your business and scale your platform, you're going to have to enter the institutional space. And so we're looking for owner operator clients that are open to the idea of bringing in an institutional investor who's going to come in, put in 80, 90% of the equity on a deal. They're going to look for major decision right control. They're going to have a little bit of a pricier waterfall structure. But at the end of the day, they're going to get, rather than one or two deals done a year, they're going to get three, four, five deals done a year, and 10, 11 deals done every 2 years. And so that is something that we view is beneficial to owners operators who are intent on building out a business and scaling their platform. If you're intent on doing the one to two deals a year, then by all means, I mean, it's a great business model and you're going to be able to make a lot of money off of it, but that's not where we're kind of trying to play.
Sure.
We like the fact that our equity clients bring really two really strong pros to the table. One, they give you certainty of execution. So the private capital, high net worth, friends and family raises, I can promise you, given my experiences, they take you down the road of, are we able to close this thing? There's people who need to wait until 2 weeks after closing in order to send the funds because they're strapped on liquidity. And it ends up becoming a lot more stressed than what you initially make it out to be. And so our partnering with us and allowing us to introduce institutional equity gives you that certainty of execution where when they say they're closing on a date, you're getting one wire with the closing amount on the date because they already have the capital. And that is something that will allow the owner operator to sleep more easily at night. And two is what I just mentioned about the scalability. And so having that opportunity to really scale your platform is something that you can't really take for granted, and especially in the real estate market.
It's that time on the show for a segment called Best Deal, Worst Deal, where we talk about real estate transactions that you've done in the past so that others can learn from your knowledge and expertise. So John, with that said, what's the best real estate deal that you've done?
Best deal was probably this deal in Louisville that I transacted on while I was at Alder, where it's a really strong growing submarket. It's actually it's a two property portfolio. It's on the Indiana side of the border, and it's right around where Amazon just launched a 2 million square foot logistics center. And there's basically, there's this River Ridge Commerce Center where there's millions of square feet of new jobs coming. And it's an up and coming area where Louisville is kind of growing. And I believe it's now in a top 50 MSA in the country. And you're right off the bridge that connects Louisville to Indiana. They just put in a project there where they expanded the bridge. So your commute is now 10 minutes at most. And so it's just a really strong deal. Unfortunately, COVID did get in the way of the beginning of the renovations and construction. But that being said, given that we're coming out of COVID shortly, it's going to end up being a winner of a deal.
Awesome. How much did you raise for that one?
We raised $12 million from that across. We did two institutional investors and then a little bit of private capital on the GP side.
Got it. And what would you say is the worst deal that you've done?
I would say the worst deal, I don't really like to label worst deal, but there is a deal that we had there was a loan assumption, and then you have to really kind of get aggressive on your underwriting. So it's a deal out in the suburbs of Philadelphia where you're taking on a loan assumption. It's a $25 million equity raise, $70 million deal. And it just became, the raise became more and more challenging as we were going along because of the loan assumption where we kind of drilled down on the cash on cash and we weren't able to hit the metrics that investors are typically looking for. And so we ended up needing to bridge the equity in order to then close out completely a month or two after closing. And it just became a little bit more stressful than what we wanted. That being said, the deal is performing all right. But again, given the loan assumption that we needed to take on in the deal, it made it a really difficult raise and it made my job hard as the capital raiser.
Mm. Have you learned anything from that deal that you would not do again moving forward?
It's made me second guess looking at deals with loan assumptions when you're not getting a really strong entry cap. For instance, we are looking at a deal at my new shop where it's a loan assumption, but your entry cap's at 6.5-7%. And so that kind of helps offset some of the difficulty of the loan assumption, which is it's tough. It's low leverage. It's just it's tough to sell it.
Awesome. Well, John, we're getting a little bit short on time here, but I'd love to just ask a little bit about how someone can work with you. Let's say it's an operator who has that track record. They've done maybe 1,000 units or more, but they've got a deal that's bigger than they've ever done before. What's the best way for that operator to present you with that deal? Do you just need the financials and the OM? Do they need to create a webinar? And then also, do they present it to your private equity funds as well? Can you kind of explain the process for how to communicate that great deal that an investor wants to bring to you?
Yeah. So first off, if you need to find our contact information, I'm on LinkedIn, Mark's on LinkedIn, the rest of the team's on LinkedIn. You can also find us at www.markbelsky.com. And basically, we're looking, especially, we understand the caution from smaller owner-operators that are looking to get into bigger deals that they've never done. They want to make sure that they start having equity lined up, et cetera. So the best thing to do is to send me the underwriting, the T12s, the rent rolls, the OM. As I mentioned earlier, we can then parse through and do our internal underwriting to see if it's a deal that we believe we have an audience for. And as soon as that's done, we can then move to really getting working on the deal itself and finding the right people for it. Now, we have a database of hundreds, I think it's around 600-700 private equity funds that we have direct contact into that we're touching base with on a monthly or quarterly basis. We know what their investment criteria are, and we know what kind of deals they're looking for in terms of check size, vintage, geography, et cetera. And so we'll plug in the high-level deal data into our database, and it'll spit out exactly who we should be going out to on these specific deals. And we find that to be really helpful. And then we'll present the deal initially to the private equity fund. We'll do a little bit of the initial due diligence questions with them. And then from there, we then introduce the operator to the equity and they take it from there. And hopefully that results in a term sheet and then from a term sheet to a closing.
Yeah. Awesome.
And I think that that's one of the things that differentiates us from other kind of people who are doing equity placement. One is we're really only focused on equity. And so a lot of people will do the equity because they're looking at doing the debt on the deal as well. That's not really our business plan, our business model. We are equity focused and really relationship focused. And then two is that we're very hands-on with our clients, our owner-operator clients, and we really understand the deals. We understand the metrics. We understand the dynamic, and that allows us to be really helpful with them while they're kind of want to focus on getting their due diligence period closed and making sure that the deal is checking all those boxes. We can be helpful on that front. And so we're a little bit more hands-on than your typical equity placement broker.
Got it. Awesome. Well, John, thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it. You know, thank you for sharing your wisdom and expertise with us. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Thanks, Suze. Thank you for having me on. And again, for the listeners, if you have deals, please don't hesitate to come our way. We're happy to engage and discuss and try and get some deals done here.
Awesome. Thanks, John.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Hey, everybody. It's Mark Allen Kenny. If you're interested in apartment building investments, schedule a call with me so we can have a chance to chat. My company is focused on growing your family's wealth with apartment building investments. So let's hop on a quick call and talk about your investment goals and see if we're a good fit. Find out more at stellarinvestmentgroup.com.